As we join together in a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to these two beautiful prayer quilts we have this morning. Take a moment on your way out of the sanctuary, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let them know that we're thinking of them and we're praying for them. Now, will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. For all that you have given us, we bless your holy name. You have created all things, and you are the ruler of everything that exists. We praise you. We offer you our lives in faithful service. Enable us to seek your will, lest we fail to realize what we can learn through your grace. By your greatness and strength, secure us. By your love and faithfulness, protect us. By your wisdom and power, direct us in all we do, so that we may proclaim your wonderful works to all. Reveal your goodness to all who need your strength and love today. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them. To encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens, to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, to help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray this morning for those that are still suffering from the ravages of storms, fires, earthquakes, and other disasters in our lives. May they feel your love in their time of need as they fight the effects of these disasters and try to return to a time of peace and normal living. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. So some of you may be wondering why I look a little different. Somebody told me I look 5 years younger. I had my gallbladder out a week ago Thursday, and apparently that's what happens, you just look younger. And so the recovery's going great. Thank you, John. And yeah, I'm having a good time, feeling No more worries about attacks. And as I listened to Chris read this morning, we're all going to say this together because I want to hear it loud. All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You hear that? This is a song that the people of Israel sang during the festival of the booths. Now, this is a time of the harvest. And it was a processional hymn as they entered the gates of the temple. Now, in ancient Israel, people came from all over. They'd go to Jerusalem for the holy festivals. And we see accounts in Jesus' life where he did the same thing. And the Psalms reflect those songs and prayers of those pilgrims. They would come to Mount Zion and the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. They were outside the holiest of holies, but they were there to worship because the temple was seen as the very dwelling place of God. Now imagine if you were a pilgrim in those days going to temple. It'd be a little different than today when you hop in your car and you're here in just a few minutes. See, back then in preparation, you'd have to pull together money and food for the trip. And then you'd gather up with a group of others and you would make the trip to Jerusalem. Now, they would offer prayer for the journey, and they would sing a song like this to begin the trip. It comes from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Your journey, it would be tough. Many miles on foot with the danger of heat and cold, hunger and thirst, bandits, and rough terrain. Now, after you've traveled a few days, or many days, you get to see the temple for the first time. And as you look up and see it perched up on the mountain, as you enter, you hear a priest sing out, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." And you and all the people would sing back, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Amen." Now, it must have been awe-inspiring. I know it is for me when I come in on Sunday mornings to be present with the people of God, present to worship God, present to breathe in this sacred place, present to lift voices together as one. Now, it's a little different for us today. Back in Jesus' day, the Romans actually built a fortress right next to the temple. And they made the wall high enough so the centurions who were walking that wall could see into the temple and watch what was going on during worship. Now, we don't do that today. We do that with closed circuit cameras now. Oh, thank you. I just threw that in. I didn't know if it would work. But I think, you know, you look back, why would they do that? Well, I think the Romans realized that with this worshiping community, that something was happening. They were concerned about unleashing this power of God that comes about when people worship together. And they wanted to prevent against that. So this summer, we've decided we're going to take a look at what it means to be part of the body of Christ as a United Methodist. We're calling them summer selfies. And so you've seen some slides. There's some cards in the back. If you haven't had a picture taken and submitted it, do that today. There's a bunch of different choices that you can choose from. This week, we're talking about presence. Now, when we're entering into the United Methodist Church, for those of you who came in as little kids, you heard this at your confirmation. If you joined later on in life, you heard it when you took your membership vows. And here's what we say. The question is placed as this. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And our response to that is, I will. Now, last week we talked about what it means to pray as the body of Christ. We discovered in a letter of James that God's divine energy is unleashed when we pray together. Now, if you haven't heard that message, you can listen to it on our website. Just go there and click on recent sermons. Well, this week, as I mentioned, we're going to consider the second part of that commitment that we make, presence. We agree to support the church, the body of Christ, by being present. Will you faithfully participate in church by your presence? That's the question we're asked. Now, I became a member of the United Methodist Church in 1980, officially. And I did it in a way a lot of people do it. I married in. I married a lifelong Methodist, so I had to take these same vows. And we were actually married, and Dr. Richard Cheatham, who officiated at Sue and my wedding, he's going to be here at the next service bringing special music on his clarinet. So if you want to stick around and hear that, you'll get to hear music played by the pastor that married Sue and I. And we were married right in that old sanctuary, which is now our community room. Well, I'm a member of the United Methodist Church. We have a couple kids. Sue worked every other weekend. So it was my responsibility to make sure the kids got to church. And they did. We came every week. Now, I don't have any pictures on purpose, because some weeks they would be in soccer shorts and t-shirts. I'm pretty sure they were clean. Their hair might be a little unkempt, and Katie's would be tangled because she refused to let Dad brush her hair because I was too rough, Dad. You don't do it like Mom does it. But they were here. And that was my responsibility, to make sure that they were here. Well, when we were living up in the Grand Rapids area, before we moved back to Brighton, we had to do a little church shopping. So we went around only looking at United Methodist churches, don't worry. We didn't stray from the flock. And we found, when we moved to Ada, a wonderful community at Lowell First United Methodist. And we enjoyed it. We liked the people. The message was good. The pastor, Reverend Bill Amundson, was there at the time. And we connected. And so it didn't take long before suddenly I'm a liturgist serving on the finance committee. For those of you who haven't figured it out, when you say yes once at church, it won't be once. There will be more yeses. Because that's what we agree to by being present. We say we're going to say yes. So when we moved back in 1989 and rejoined this church, we had a chance to be in worship here as well. And you saw my kids the exact same way. Nothing changed. But we were here singing praises to God. And when we think of that vow of presence that we take and say we're going to support the church, we most often assume it means this, right? Being here Sunday mornings. Check. Right? We vow that we're going to show up weekly. But what I told you and what I found is that it goes beyond that. When you say, I will be present, it's a broader and deeper meaning. It doesn't stop at worship. Worship is vital. But being present is an opportunity to be exposed to the teachings of Christ. And having the church not only impact, but shape you, your values, your priorities, your desires, your expectations, even your life direction. So yes, first, we agree to be present together, to be present to God in worship. And that means coming together for worship on Sundays and other occasions. Because at the core, when we get up and shake hands, worship is about relationship. Relationship with each other. It's relationship with God. It's where God and community, where they intersect, where they come together. It's prayer. It's conversation with God. It's giving praise. And it's listening. See, there's nothing else like worship for a gathering of people. See, we fully expect that we're communicating with God, and we know that the Holy Spirit is present in this place. See, with God residing right here in worship with us, God wants to be in conversation with us. God is moving us, equipping us, offering the strength of His presence, the hope of Christ, the power of the Spirit. But it's not passive. Worship is active. Now, there's times where you've gone to see a show, to be entertained. Nothing is expected of you except that you don't talk on your cell phone and that you clap politely at the end. It's all you have to do. But see, worship isn't anything like that. Going back to the scripture today, Psalm 100, that Chris read with vigor. These are the directions that we're given. I want you to listen to these, and the hearers of the Psalms, which includes us, would hear this. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord. Come before Him. Know the Lord is God. Enter His gates. Give thanks. Praise His name. Every Sunday when you come in, imagine that those are the directions that you're being given and how you're called to worship. Because we have to look beyond what we say, what we do. See, it's not all about the preacher. It's not all about me. It's not all about the musicians. It's not all about the liturgist or the worship host. It's not all about the ushers. See, we're here to lean forward, to lean in. And we're to catch what God is doing, to hear what God is saying. See, we're present. When we're present here for worship, we join with countless thousands in the past and in the present as we're in the act of worshiping God. See, the disciples joined Jesus in the synagogue. And if you didn't know this, the word synagogue means to bring together. So from the day of Pentecost, from the birth of the church, the faithful have been worshiping God through Jesus Christ. In Greek, the word for church is ecclesia. And that means called out of the world. We're called out of the world, and for many people, worship is the first step toward a life commitment to Christ. See, we get to experience resurrection in worship. It's like a little Easter every Sunday. So being present for worship is what we do as faithful followers of Christ. And theologian Walter Brueggemann said it this way, "Praise is the duty and delight, the ultimate vocation of the human community, indeed, of all creation." But corporate worship isn't the only way that we agree to be present as a disciple of Christ. We're called to be present to God's amazing creating work in this world, to watch for glimpses of God in the moment. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. Now, along with many others, I was one of the leaders, put that in quote, leaders, at Vacation Bible School this week. Now, my grandson Luke and I, we led, and I always put that in quotes because you don't lead fifth and sixth graders. But at the science station, we didn't have to work too hard because Annette Oliver had different demonstrations every day. And one day, she demonstrated how to make elephant toothpaste. Is anyone familiar with that? One, because you deal with little people. I had never seen this. So here's all you need, and you can go online and YouTube it and find that. You need a 2-liter soda bottle, empty, dish soap, food coloring, hydrogen peroxide, and depending on what strength it is, it changes what happens. But then you also need water and yeast because you need a catalyst. So if you do it properly and you mix them in the right order in the right amounts, the foam comes pouring out the top. In fact, it shoots out. And that's part of the goal. And it just keeps going and going. Now, it's a little warm. Might even be hot depending on the strength you make it. So you have to be careful. But to watch these fifth and sixth graders just lean in and pay attention to every move. They knew what was going to happen. I had no idea, but they couldn't take their eyes off of it because something was happening right in front of them that they appreciated. And so to have volunteers like that step up to serve at Vacation Bible School, next year when you're asked, I encourage you to say yes. Because if you don't know, your presence makes a difference. And when one of the kids walks up to you and hands you your own King Bob rock that he created, you know that you're making a difference. So let God's love shine through. Say yes when you're asked to help. See, moments like that, those are God sightings. It's hard to believe that making elephant toothpaste can be a God sighting, but it is. And we're called as the body of Christ to be present, to be consciously aware of them, and to do that for each other. I mean, think about the people that you've met in this church or other faith communities that have been a part of your life. I mean, your heart, it just softens. Your soul sings when you see a God sighting in another person. When you receive that kind word or card, when someone remembers an important anniversary in your life, or someone says just the thing you need to hear, or keeps their mouth shut because they know that you just can't hear anything else. A long time ago in the 1600s, a monk named Brother Lawrence put it this way. He called it practicing the presence of God. You see, he lived in a monastery, simple life, and as he went about his daily chores, whether it was weeding the garden, how many people who weed their garden look for the presence of God? I didn't think so. He did. He's cleaning the pots and pans, doing the dishes. He's looking for the presence of God. In everything he did, he looked for God to be there. Because to be present is about keeping watch. See, God's moving here and in our lives in ways that we can't imagine. We're filled with joy. We're filled with wonder when we see things. See, God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, offers us that second chance of mercy, forgiveness, restoration, and new life every time we see those sightings. See, through the Holy Spirit, God is lifting us up, sustaining us, giving us strength. And we just have to notice it. And let me tell you, don't live expecting that it's just now or tomorrow or next week. It's for the rest of our lives. And we do expect it as part of this church. So we're called to be present to the body of Christ. That is the vow we're making. But that means being present to one another. We are the body of Christ. So this is a twofold vow. We'll be present to those we know and love. You know, the saints who have brought us to where we are and our friends who are still with us on this journey, we'll be with them no matter what, even when we disagree with them. And here's the other part, though. We will be present to those who are seeking and looking to connect with the body of Christ. Now, this can be a little bit more challenging. As I said, not everyone in the body of Christ thinks like us, looks like us, behaves like us, thank the Lord, or has had the same life experiences. In fact, those who are just beginning their faith journey, their needs are going to be different than somebody who's further along on that road. But we're called to be present to one another, and we set that all aside, whatever the differences are. See, we seek to know Jesus Christ better. We seek to lean on the grace of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? I've been talking about what it means to be present. It can be the simplest of things. Greeting one another and looking each other in the eye. It can be the most challenging of actions. It can mean supporting others through times. It can be offering huge helpings of grace when you don't want to give it. It can be called to set judgments aside when you'd rather they stay right in front of you. And I've seen this congregation and others be present for others, not only in the church, but in community. Now, there are cynics who would ask the question, why do you do this? What's in it for you? See, it's not about what we will receive. It's about giving thanks for what we have received in Jesus Christ. When We Were Soldiers is a 2002 movie that depicts the true story of the first major battle between the United States and the North Vietnamese forces. It's about uncommon valor and loyalty among the soldiers, but it's also about the sacrifice that the men and women at home made for those soldiers overseas. Now, this is a deleted scene from the movie, and I'll set the stage. The battle has begun in Vietnam, and the wives and other relatives of the soldiers, they've gathered in church, in worship. And they ask one of the wives to sing.
It was a Sunday, November 14th, 1965. There had never been a major engagement between the soldiers of America and those of the People's Army of Vietnam.
Him, Catherine Metzger.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest. I'm sorry. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
See, when we're present as the church, it's not about us. It's about giving glory to God. It's about seeing God's movement in this world. It's about supporting one another, lifting the load when others can't, offering prayer when someone else is all prayed out, or picking up the song when someone can't go on singing. See, as the church, we are the faithful who are present in worship, present in the world, and present to the world, all for God's glory. And this is more than just being United Methodists. This is the presence that God has called us. So this week, here's what I'd like you to do. Seek a way to be intentionally present and claim it. Now, you have a good start because you're here on Sunday morning in worship. Don't stop there. Go that next step. Be present to God's movement and glory in this world. See it. Give thanks and point it out to someone else. Find a way to be present to another person, to listen, to help, to offer patience and a smile. Because this is who we are. Please pray with me. Amazing God, we are humbled in your presence. And yet you call us out and tell us that we need to be present, not just part of the time, but all of the time. Present to you and the glory that you give. Present to each other and present to the world. Sharing all that you have given us with love, with grace, and with hope. Amen.